This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, hello, you're in Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
This is Layla.
And we've got Gracie. Grace is on panel tonight. We've got a deadly show lined up. We're going to be chatting with some amazing artists, both performing artists. One specifically specialises in spoken word, and the other is an actor and running her own workshops for children. So it's amazing.
Strong, deadly women.
Yes, and I feel like I'm really like the minority right now because it's all women around me. I'm the only fella here. Aww. So, but hey, I'm in touch with my feminine side. So, yeah, we're going to be doing some deadly yarns and, of course, deadly music. Mm-hmm. And we've got some special music coming up with Jeffrey Gurumore as well, which is great. You know, every time I say his name, though, unfortunately, we should not be mentioning names, but when we're on radio, we've got to let people know who's performing. Mm. But he's an amazing man. We know who he is. You don't even have to say his name for people to even know his music. But in general, he's going to be coming up. Well, there's a film they're making on him, a documentary. So that's something we'll chat about later. Speaking of Jeffrey, let's play his song right now. Oh, before I do, a quick call out to my brother boy, that's Hamid, and brother boy Tony. Hope you're listening, tuning in, and Lucho.
Thank you.
celebrated by audiences at home and abroad, the Indigenous artist Geoffrey Gurumul Yunupingu was one of the most important and acclaimed voices to ever come out of Australia, representing our mob. Mm. Blind from birth, he found purpose and meaning through songs and music inspired by his community and country in Elko Island in far northeast Arnhem Land. Traditional Yolngu life, his breakthrough album, Gurumul, brought him to crossroads as audiences and artists around the world and began to embrace his music. Yes, Gurumul was a portrait of an artist on the brink of global reverence and the struggles that he had for those who were closest to him as he faced in balancing that which mattered most to him and keeping the show on the road. Yes, recently he'll be coming out with his film for Gurumul fans, so if you ever get a chance, you must see his documentary. Mm-hmm. It's coming out very soon, so we'll let you know when that's happening when we're closer to the dates. Geoffrey Gurumul, what a legend. And that song just then, that was Jarimiri, my apologies, which means as child of the rainbow.
Deadly.
Every time I hear his music, it's just I'm blown away. And, you know, because his voice obviously echoes since, you know, bad news, of course, not being with us anymore.
Yeah.
But I always think going on to the next level, you know. Mm. He's done what he needed to do here on this earth and he's now up with the rest of the mob now.
Yeah. Mm. And resonates with so many generations of us mob too, you know, his music. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So we've got some special guests on Urban Dreaming tonight and we must say a quick hello first. This is Natalie McLean.
Hey.
And we have Kaya.
Hello.
So Kaya is actually, she explores the themes of inner and outer space through rhythmic use of the English language. Initially an artist that used solely her voice to move her audience, the recent addition of music has allowed her a home within her artistry and a newfound peace that parallels her meditational practice. And, she's in the studio right now with us.
I am. Hello. Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Woohoo.
It's great to have you on board. And I actually got to see some of your work at the Black Dot Gallery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And more recently, Sopology as well.
Yes.
Curated by one of our previous guests, Swani.
And emceed by the only, one and only, Layla Thacker.
Oh, well, of course.
That was a phenomenal night, actually.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, just your voice itself, even though your words, again, resonates with us, it's also, you just got such an amazing voice that's even meditative in its own. And it's like I'm drawn to you when you speak. And it's just a beautiful way because I think a lot of us, mob, we're very visual and audio sort of creatures, aren't we, as human beings?
Mm.
And is that sort of what you've always felt your connection with in regards to your work? Is that something you explored later on in life or did it just come naturally?
The meditative, I guess, sort of state. That's a really good question, actually. It's not something I'd ever really thought about. I never really thought about my wellness practices intertwining with my work, but they inevitably have. And once you notice that crossover and that parallel, it's something you can't really go back on. So for me, when it comes to my artistry and performing, it definitely is, there's an element of channeling in it, which is a meditation of its own, so long as you allow it. Those things don't just come naturally to almost anyone, the things that you have to, I guess, allow space for. Yeah, you have to set up some space and some time to allow those things to come through and do your best within them.
I think even just hearing you perform, Kaya, like, I remember I told you at Black Dot Gallery when I saw you perform, like, that was the first time I've actually heard the words. Because normally you perform with, you know, a backdrop of instrumentals or DJ and, but I remember, like, I think the DJ or the music was just that little bit low that night and then next minute I could hear all them words and I'm like, oh, this is raw and intimate and intense and, like, properly, like, heard, you know, who you were and your art, I suppose. And it took me by surprise. It was beautiful.
I think that was within that event was quite a defining moment in my career in the arts, if you would like to call it that much. That was a step up from other sets that I've done. Sapology, the first Sapology that I did was a phenomenal set. The next best set that I did was that one.
Mm.
And my sets have just gotten better and better since that point. And I think it was because I did really allow myself that space and that time to...
grow.
Yeah, not just to grow, but before my set, that hour, that 2 hours, that whole day, that week, listening to the music that you think is best represents yourself and who you communicate yourself to be when you're on stage, looking at visuals that you really resonate with, and taking time to meditate, probably more so than other weeks when you're not performing.
Yeah, deadly.
One thing I'm really interested in knowing about your performance and about what you're doing is, I guess, where your influences came from. I'm so interested to know, you know, who is your biggest influences for creating your performance?
My biggest influences, this is going to sound super, super strange, because there's not a great deal of parallel in style, by Kanye West. for sure. I probably have a Kanye quote for absolutely any scenario that ever was in life. But I just really vibed with him as an artist. And beyond just his artistry, I think his personality and the viewpoint that he has on a lot of things in and around being so wholeheartedly himself and backing himself so wholeheartedly.
So for yourself, that's what you want to do, back yourself wholeheartedly and go out there as an artist and present yourself that way and with your own sort of, you know, backing. You're not just, I guess, going out into the world trying to take things so much from everywhere else. You're like, obviously Kanye is an influence, but you've got yourself and your own influence in that way.
Definitely. There's a lot of other people that have influenced me, for sure. I could really go on forever about it. Lauryn Hill's one of them. Laura Mvula.
Their Love
styles
Lauren.
Would, yeah, none of their styles would really parallel mine. But I think when you're talking about a form of artistry that's not really commonly known, it's really important to remember that you're not going to sound like other people. You're not going to be received like other people. Mm. And if you look too far out of what's in front of you and what's inside you, most importantly, you're kind of going to start wilding, and it's not going to be your most authentic stuff. And your most authentic stuff as a poet, as a lyrical poet, tends to be the most introspective stuff that you give space and time to.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. So will we be expecting some Kai Yeezys? Kai West that.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, I think what you were saying before in regards to your personality that sort of has to stream through your work, and also just, you know, because too often are people trying to be someone else and not themselves, and I think that's the key to any performative art, no matter what it may be.
Absolutely,
or even just work in general. Like, you just, I find that you will only have your own signature if you find your own signatures.
Exactly.
Yeah,
interesting. So, Kai, I'd love to hear some of your work. So if you can, maybe give a share with us some of your work now.
Yeah, I definitely can. All right, so this one is called Young Black Boy, and I'll just give a bit of context to it, if you don't mind. I guess it was written as a commentary to the relationship between black men and black women. We are supposed to be our biggest allies, but I find there's a serious breakdown in communication there. So this one came from a bit of a pain point. This is Young Black Boy. The world isn't apologetic to you, young black boy, for all the obstacles they place in front of you, for all the labels that they've pinned on you. So you make me apologize to you. You break me down and force my hand at pronouncing these three syllables of surrender. I am sorry became so common for me. A mantra, a white flag, my safety word, like, baby, I tap out. You deserve more I'm sorries from the world that made your skin a cloak of invisibility while simultaneously the mark of the beast. They call you a super predator and hang you from trees. This world owed you an apology, and yet you received none. So you seek it from me. But I hang from the same tree. The fruit that hangs beside me is my kin, my brother, my mother, my father, my friend. And I would hang myself lower to allow you a stool to step on, to rest on, in hopes that you could climb free, with good faith that you would come back for me. But our ties know not peace. You would cut the rope that suspends me and use it as my leash to stronghold me in the same domineering way that has been done to thee. There are no number of I'm sorries that I could count to make things better that would heal the young black boy inside of you who cries for cops and robbers and snakes and ladders, but instead of Saturday morning cartoons taught lessons like hands up, don't shoot, because cops are robbers who will take your life and make it out like you are the latter. And I am sorry, young black boy, for all the tears that you never cried, because you were told to wipe your eyes and to be emotionless is how to be a man. I wish that your father would have held you tighter and you'd have felt his storm clouds rain down on your tiny body, that your mama would have run you a warm bath so you could cry and collect your hurt to bathe in it before you washed it away.
Young black boy, your tears host a home in me. I cry them for you every time you refuse to. I feel all of the emotions that you refuse to. And I cannot ask you to unlearn the coping mechanisms that you adopted for survival. But I am not your rival. And I cannot be sorry anymore. I am no longer allowing my body to be used as a weapon to enforce somebody else's lesson. I am neither tool nor punishment. Your hurt is neither undue nor irrelevant, but I deserve to water the garden of my smile with kisses and kind words, not the constant flow of wastewater from tear ducts. I deserve to have my hurt heard and to place it in hands who will wipe the wastewater from my tear ducts. I am sorry, young black boy, that you were born into this time that recognizes neither your heart, your soul, nor your mind, but nor did they recognize mine.
Woo!
Well.
Wow. Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's what I mean, the power of the voice. Particularly, I don't get this often with many spoken word artists, but your voice resonates so strongly. It's really hard-hitting. Tell us more about yourself with the work, because a lot of your work is political as well.
Unintentionally, but yeah.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
tends to be.
I guess I'm really interested to know more about how you sort of came into this world of politics through your work without really, obviously, to a certain degree, without being intentional.
I think that's just like a reflection of my life, to be honest. Mm. I mean, like, being a young black woman, everything's political, you know, so... For me, poetry was not something that I actively just like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a poet. I was always a poet. I was always a closet writer. I was a poet before I even knew that there was a terminology for that, and it was a poet. Mm-hmm. And then the things that I expressed myself on tended to be subjects in and around my blackness, because it was something that I was different for. It was something that I really struggled with growing up here. So... it was sort of inevitable that by the time I got to the point where I was, okay, at open mics, performing in front of my friends, in front of my partner, in front of different people, that my content tended to be what was going on inside of me. And I've never really been able to write anything decent, let alone good or great or phenomenal, but even just decent, that hasn't been something that's actually relevant to me, because I'm just such an introspective person. I went to an event over the weekend. It was a hackathon by the Incubate Foundation. Plug. Incubate Foundation is phenomenal. They do phenomenal work, and I really highly recommend everybody checks them out. But this hackathon was around social entrepreneurship. And I've kind of lost my point.
Political.
Yeah, I kind of lost my point.
I feel like, Sis Kaya, because, you know, you and I are always in the same circles, you know, and I feel like my work is political as well, subconsciously.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is the company we keep, you know, like we're always hanging out with artists with very similar visions. You know, so we're kind of just all bouncing our art from each other, you know.
Yeah.
And experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a phenomenal... it's just the way in which I express myself, I should say, my writing. I think a lot of black women, whether they're artists or not, whether or not they have the vocabulary or the means to express themselves, a lot of what's going on inside them is quite political. They just don't have the means to get it out. I'm just fortunate that as an artist I have an outlet to be able to do that, but I'm not unique in that facet, if you know what I mean.
And that's so important, isn't it? So we need some form of outlet, you know, we need something to express ourselves, and because a lot of our mob go through this, you know, not just our mob but people in general. And how do you cope, how do you deal with these things, and how do you show your expression? Don't forget there's always a lifeline out there too. You can call if you ever feel like you need someone to speak to and you don't necessarily have that particular person who is there for you, who can speak for you, there's a line that you can actually call. That's 131114. That's 131114.
And just quickly on that too, you can be anonymous when you make them calls, and it doesn't have to be something you're dealing with. It could be somebody that you know who's dealing with something.
Exactly. Yes, you're an Urban Dreaming, guys. Thank you so much, Kaya. Hopefully you stay in the rest of the night with us.
I am, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No worries. We'll be chatting with Natalie McLean very soon.
Hey, you mob. This is Davey, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Thank you. Talo for Lover. This is Natana from Chasing Smoke, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, you are on Joy. This is Urban Dreaming and Sarami on the mic.
And Layla.
And we have Grace on the panel. Unfortunately, no microphone. But I'm sure she's giving a little wave right now, actually. It's great. And we've also got in the studio our special guests. It's Kaya and Natalie.
Yes.
Or Nat Mac, they like to call her. And the song just played then, that was Friends with Feelings, Alice Skye.
Deadly Lynch. Alice.
Love Alice.
So I'm going to introduce our next guest. Oh, by the way, I'm Layla, so I'm mainland Torres Strait Islander, Murray Mer woman. Sorry, I had to, before I introduce myself with a cough, that's not my cue. That was a cough.
And she was actually our story from last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
I
now
was.
We've got her as the
old
co-host
news.
Of Urban Dreaming
Team. Look out, I see it. Almost in. Almost got that contract. That lie. Anyway, I'm taking up Nat Mac's time, so I'm going to introduce her. She is an actor, artist and presenter, a conscious creator, a born storyteller who comes from a long line of traditional storytellers, and she embraces both her Aboriginal and Scottish heritage. She works between natural and digital worlds as an actor, producer and cultural educator for her own business, Junjuri Workshop. Hey. Deadly. Nat specialises in arts and cultural management and creative direction. She is an artivist, oh, like many of us, who shares yes. stories through writing, film, festivals and photography. Goals? Her goals? To inspire and collaborate on fun, artistic, empowering and comedic projects. As an actor, or sorry, she says, not me, she says, as an actor, I must be a great listener as well as a great entertainer. It's a privilege to be the vessel for a story. Oh. Welcome, Nat Mac.
Hey.
Beautiful, welcome.
Wow, read my whole bio there.
I know, lots of bio.
Jesus, straight from the website. Now, hey, everyone, thank you for having me.
Not a problem.
Welcome.
So, Natalie, Nat might also be a part of some projects in the future with us as well, so yeah. Can't wait to even get her on board Urban Dreaming as well.
Woohoo!
But your Junjuri Workshops, I'm really, really interested to hear more about it. So yeah. Let us know what it's about.
So Junjuri Workshops, basically the way I came up with this is I go into primary schools and to kindergartens, education facility centres, and I teach the children in those centres about my Aboriginal culture. And specifically, I talk about, this year I'm talking about Gubbi Gubbi language. So I am a Gubbi Gubbi, Waka Waka, Kalali woman from Brisbane, Queensland. And I've only been in Melbourne for about 5-6 years, going on 6 years now. So I've brought a lot of my my history, my family stories, my knowledge, and I've turned it into these workshops so that I can share it with the younger generations.
Awesome.
Mm. Yeah.
What's it like working with, 'cause what are the age groups?
So I have worked with tiny babies, so I'm talking like 9 months old,
yeah.
right up to 8 to 10 year olds. Yep. So that's been the main focus of the group. So definitely early years has a huge focus. I get a lot of kindergartens and preschools that are making the bookings for these workshops.
Yep.
The other thing is I wanted to create these workshops as a really nurturing experience for the children because the language that I'm teaching them is Gubbi Gubbi language, so that comes from my grandmother's part of country, which is in around Gympie in Queensland. Mm. I wanted to keep the focus on that this year, mostly because my workshops are booked in around NAIDOC week, and as we know, NAIDOC this year, we're talking about women. The focus is women, yeah. So because of her we can, yeah. Mm. So I'm focusing on specifically my grandmother's language in this instance.
Yeah, deadly.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. I was really intrigued to hear more about how you, because obviously there's different demographics and ages with you, but the idea of working with 9-month-year-olds, like, you know, I it's funny, isn't it? Because we might laugh at that, but, you know, they are probably the most more absorbent in regards to...
Absorbent?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
right,
well, that's true. They absorb like a sponge.
Sponges, that's
yeah.
Right.
True.
Exactly true, yeah. So I find working with children under the age of 2 is a really interesting experience because Essentially, I've got to adapt my workshops to be able to work with them. Layla. Layla over here coughing, trying to cover a cough.
She's trying to cover a laugh.
Oh, laugh. Not even.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm real calm here.
Sorry, interrupt.
No, this is great. Yeah. So basically, working with the little ones is really interesting because I have to adapt my workshops to suit their level of attention, their attention spans. So some things that we're doing with painting and drawing and stuff like that, I'm not doing with the nine-month-olds. We're focusing more on interactive storytelling. And so I've got the kids up being Junjari. So I haven't even had a chance to explain to you what a Junjari is. Yeah. So the way I came up with this is when I was a little girl, I used to be told stories about Junjaris, and there's other names for them. Nanyari is another word that's used. And basically what I was told as a child is that the Junjaris are a part of our dreaming. And they are tiny native spirits, something akin to a fairy. Junjaris cared for nature, they lived amongst it, and they cared for every part of Australia. So every part of Australia was blessed with Junjari footsteps, from the snowy mountains to the red deserts to the salty oceans to the tropical rainforests and all the dry bushlands in between, there were Junjaris. And these were magical places. Junjaris help seeds to grow, they help flowers to bloom, they heal plants and animals in all parts of the land. So that's the story behind Junjaris. A lot of, there are stories in Northern Territory and in northern parts of Queensland about the little people or the hairy people. Mm. And that's sort of where these stories have translated from over time. And obviously I was told that the Junjaris live in my part of country, which is around the Glasshouse Mountains. So I adapted that story. And now when I'm teaching it to the kids, I get them to become the Junjari. So that's something we do at the very end of my workshops, and that's something that I think they find to be really exciting and really immersive, and the teachers love it because they get to see their kids really embracing Aboriginal culture.
I want to be a part of this workshop.
Thank you. I should start writing about adults.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, actually originally I started writing Junjari story into a play. I'm still working on that. That's something that's sort of a work in progress. But for now, they're workshops. Yeah.
Yeah, deadly.
So cool. I think, and how does one get involved with these workshops?
So the best way I have been getting people involved at the moment is by talking about it, word of mouth, hey. The other way is I get bookings on my website. So mostly I've had to do a bit of marketing myself, going to childcare centres and schools and handing out flyers and letting them know I exist. And I'm here, I can come in and I can run these workshops.
She's here, guys. I can actually feel her. She is here.
I exist. But essentially I'm just getting people, directing people to my website. I'm going to plug it, www.nataliemclean, that's nataliemclean.com, and you can click the link to find out about the Junjari workshops on my website. Directing people to my website and word of mouth and speaking to all those childcare centres, that's how I've been getting people to book them in.
It's really interesting too, because you've got an acting background, so it must sort of naturally progress with you, like in order to teach these, to facilitate such workshops.
Absolutely. So acting is my background. I've always been a performer. I took a break for a while and got back into it when I moved to Melbourne in 2012. My focus was, yeah, I'm going to come here, I'm going to be an actor.
It's not always the way.
No, it's not. But that's also the other reason why this business that I have created is so fantastic, because when I'm not getting acting work, when it's a bit quiet, I've got this here to put all of my time and energy and effort into, and it's something that I love and enjoy so much. So I feel really blessed to be able to go into childcare centres and work with children, because they're really a blessing.
Children are our next generation. They're our future.
That's so. Right. I'm an auntie as well, so I've got three nephews, one niece, and one of my nephews has just had a child. So I'm a great auntie.
Look at Auntie Nat Mac.
Auntie Nat. That's right. So
I'm going to take you to Auntie Nat Mac. You want to behave, you kids.
Auntie Nat, want to behave? I'll flog you.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just so being around children and doing things for kids has been it was a natural transition for me. So as a performer and as an actor, I find it's really rewarding to work with kids.
Deadly.
Can I ask a question?
Please? Go on then.
Do you ever do workshops for people who are older?
So that's something I'm looking at doing. I want to adapt my workshops so that the experience is just as exciting as it is for children, but I want to keep it interactive. So I'm working on it. Yeah, that's something I really do want to do.
What adult doesn't like dressing up?
Right? Like, who doesn't like to play up? Who doesn't like to learn new things? Who doesn't like to learn
different
languages?
Doesn't want to be a Jundari.
Come on, be a Jundari.
I could make you hairy.
Go on.
As a fairy. That could be the name of it.
Well, yeah. Hairy fairies?
Yes. So, yeah, guys, that's Jundari Workshops. That's Nat Mac. If you get a chance, check out her work and check out her workshops.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Stay in the studio. We've got many more conversations to be had.
Make traffic back up. Only for you. You make me wanna cash up. Roll the family dinner in a black truck. Only for you. You make me wipe for no fun. Even when I got that meeting and it's that one. Only for you. You make me wanna stand up. When everybody else tripping. And London's like chicken, me gassed up. Feeling myself like checking for cancer. In the club, moving like the Jacksons. So vultures, Snapchat us on cameras. Chill, man. And when security harass us. And we leave in an unorderly fashion. Only with you. Still make me wanna dance, love. Because you always hold me down, down, down. But I sometimes don't wanna fuck you baby. When you roast me till I eyes up. Salty like red sea, if I snatched up. That's what the fam does, that's what the fam does. People, we know where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go. Up with my Uber driver rating, ride. Leaving these Uber drivers waiting, ride. While we keep on jamming and blazing, ride. You make me feel amazing. Coconut, cocoa butter, they got me so tasty. Ooh. And we got it for Safeway cheap. 5-finger discount on that savings. You're always educating. Cause people don't know how to be around us. Going on, man. Are you crazy? Now we're all evacuating. Our house, we're headed to for safety. Put the call out, ops call out, blame me. More fam comes through, holding some JD. Holding some baby, holding us down, down, down. I was so done with the basic. So done with being anxious. Done with being gracious. Done with eviction. So I stay with the fam, I came with. People, that's my people.
People,
that's my people. People. That's my people, my people.
People.
We go where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go. Say, we go where we need to go.
Hey, this is Joe Williams, former NRL player, professional boxer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Stay deadly with Urban Dreaming.
Yes, that song just then. That was MC Remy with the song My People. Yes, he's been dropping straight fire for a number of years now across two albums. He's a producer, Sensible J, and have developed their own tight music community. And in their first new joint since 2016's Divas and Demons, My People is a celebration of the people closest to them.
So deadly.
Remy was in your film now. I was just talking about that before.
So that song... Yeah, is by Remy, not MC Remy. Who MC Remy?
Well, that's what it says on his bio.
I'm gonna update that bio. But yeah, Remy and Sensible J and Sis Tando in that song, My People. And if you've seen that film clip, my gosh, it's just fam royalty. I love it.
It's great.
It's so local, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, and it's like that big community project, you know, and Bala Barrow as well was the director. And yeah, it's just... so lit, I just can't. But yeah, Rem was in, I did a little short film recently and he did a little cameo, as well as, you know, everybody else we know in the neighbourhood. But yeah, it was real deadly, you know.
Everyone else in that neighbourhood.
Everyone, even you.
Even me.
Even you there popped up.
Styling up for that party.
Styling up.
Yeah, so we just had an amazing conversation with both artists Kaya and Nat Matt, and they decided and it's just awesome to know that we're surrounded by such amazing artists in our communities. Speaking of communities, of course, and you know that's what this show's about: getting community together and also teaching mob about protocol and educating society. So that's such important process for our mob. And it's just beautiful to have you all inside the studio this evening.
Thank you.
It's deadly.
So that song is first time I've ever heard that.
Shame on you.
I know, right?
Because I'm like, social media or what?
I'm sitting down going, I know this face, but I don't really know this song. But yeah, I'm glad I heard it. It's always good to hear.
And Remy's got the most unforgettable face, and you know that beautiful
big afro.
Hair. Gosh.
Yeah.
Don't forget it.
We definitely got to get you on the show, I think.
Yeah, yep. I think so.
The Nat Mac takeover.
Oi, one night.
So what's been happening in your world, Layla?
Oh, what's not been happening? I need a day off.
Because you said you wanted to plug a couple of things, so here's the opportunity.
Look, you make me feel good. Not even. let me get my... have we already mentioned about Fringe Festival?
No, not yet.
It's just been announced.
Oh, yeah, we can officially announce it.
We can officially announce as part of Deadly Fringe or Melbourne Fringe Festival, Deadly Fringe program. Yeah, program. Three artists and two producers were announced and... Yes. Suri was one of the artists.
Eben got selected.
I don't know how that happened. Paid
style,
off someone.
Baby, style.
And then Sis Sandy as well.
Yep, Sandy Greenwood.
That's it. And Declan.
Declan. Oh, come on now.
Come on now.
You should know the producer.
No. I don't. Sorry, Bala Declan. But anyway, Declan is on...
He's like the MC Remy, you know? He doesn't need the MC or any other words around. He's just Declan.
Just Declan, like Madonna Declan.
That's right.
We're not plugging this well, are we? Go on the website. All our bios and details are there. And I got the producer role, so that's pretty deadly. But yeah, it's been real full on, in the Fringe office at the moment, because registrations are open and they do close on the 28th of May.
For those who don't know, Layla actually won the Fringe Award last year as well for new artists.
Best emerging.
And now she's gone from artist to producer, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I think it's a really nice step for you.
Yeah, well, it's kind of manifested... very naturally, you know how it is, sis, when you're in the industry, you're constantly getting knocked down all the time, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna have to start writing my own stuff.
That's it. You gotta
and
make
give
your
myself
own
them opportunities.
Yes.
Right.
You know, but yeah, same time it's like I also need to produce and get them skills up as well.
Actually, on the note too, because we've had this conversation a couple of years back in regards to our mob, because there's so much that we are, I guess, in a sense, as a performer, expectations through film and television and theatre. We have to have this certain look in order to be an Aboriginal person.
That's right.
And it can be quite frustrating for a lot of us who don't necessarily have that certain look they're looking for, because they don't think it's authentic if we're not black.
That's right. Actually, I remember listening to you the other week on this show talking about that, and you mentioned something about... how you got a role and, you were told that if you were blacker, you would have got the role or something like that.
Oh, no, yeah, if I was white.
If you're white, you would have got it. Well, the same way, opposite thing happened with me, so, something similar, but I was told if you're blacker, you would have got it, right?
Mm.
So that goes both ways. It happens so much in the industry, so that's why you're right when you say we've got to be in control of our stories, of what we're doing, of what we're putting out, yeah. and so that we're the ones that are creating these roles for ourselves.
That's right. And I should have probably gone for that role.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, look at me, I'm like probably in between both you. So Layla's a little bit darker than me, and then you look at Nat, who's actually quite fair skinned.
Yeah. Mm.
And that thing of our diversity in our, you know, in our race, it's because the industry
teaches us to look at our skin and compare ourselves to each other. And that's real gammon, you know? Because, like, black fella, when you meet another black fella, you're just a black fella.
You just know.
You know? But then you throw the industry and then all of a sudden you're comparing yourself to other black, you know? And then you all of a sudden there's divisions within each other.
That's right.
Yeah, like proper colorism, you know?
Yeah,
and that's gammon. That's all I can say.
Well, the word gammon, guys, for those who've just tuned in, gammon actually means to be liar or to pretend. It's something that...
Yeah, it's a bit... There's no real translation for it, you know? It's just like...
You're gammon.
It's gammon.
But, you know, I guess... But it's... I use it all the time.
Yeah, you do.
Even if you want to just gammon, go look at something. Yeah, sure. Gammon, go check this out or... Yeah.
Well, it's lingo, isn't it? It's Aboriginal lingo.
Yeah, that's it.
Same way deadly, like, you know, deadly, gammon, they're all words that we just throw around whenever we... They fit, you know?
Yeah.
Gammon fits.
Yeah,
we
it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
But one more plug, sorry.
Wear that plug for that
part. I need that plug back. No. I've just been cast in a play as well by Hotel Now, is the theatre company, and it's called Her Father's Daughter, and it's actually a contemporary remake of Ibsen's play Hedda Gabler. Yeah,
ooh.
So it's full on, like... quite intense, and it's a really beautiful play that kind of looks at women's roles in society and what that looks like layered on with a really political heavy theme as well. But it's done, I mean, the play is quite well known and it's heavily of the times, which I think, you know, it's quite a vintage piece. So to put a contemporary spin on it, it's quite challenging.
Ooh.
So it'd be really cool to come and watch. But yeah, that's that's by Hotel Now. So tickets are on sale soon. And the dates for that are the 22nd of May to the 2nd of June.
Yeah. And speaking of plugging, we should always announce also that we are always looking for anyone who wants to co-host for Urban Dreaming, for any countryman out there. And it doesn't really matter, I guess, age-wise, you'd probably have to be in 16 plus, I think, for our show, because we do touch on a few topics that can be quite heavy. So if you think you've got what it takes to be on radio, this is your opportunity. Feel free to get in touch with us on...
Yeah, so you can email us on... Oh, sorry, you can get on our website, actually, www.joy.org.au.
Yep, just mention you're looking into the Urban Dreaming Show and you wanted to basically find out how you can contact us to be involved.
Yep.
I'm forever looking for my Urban Dream team, just so you know. So.
I'm not good enough, apparently. No.
And also our Facebook page, we have a Facebook page. It's just directly under Urban Dreaming, so check it out. We're always making a post, usually most Tuesday nights, but definitely one after the show. So we're going to get a photo with Kaya and with Nat Mac.
Just say Nat.
Yeah, or Kit Kat.
One word. Kit Kat. Give
a
dog a bone.
Let's have a Nat Mac. All right, guys. So, yeah, you're on Urban Dreaming. We'll be right back with an announcement.
Biri dia lawa dia wawa kaya. Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
So that was actually When the War Is Over, but that was actually sung by an Aboriginal artist named Garawa. And that song we all know is called Chisel.
Yeah.
It's a cover. Beautiful cover, Dad.
Just real quick too.
What you been to say?
We were a bit sloppy before when we were talking about Fringe Festival. So I've got to say them names properly, but the Deadly Artists, First Nations artists for this year's Fringe are Sandy Greenwood, Declan Ferber-Gillick.
That's the one.
Declan Ferber-Gillick deserves it to be said twice. Suri Binsard.
Yeah, boy. Surami, in other words.
And the other producer as well is Sis Kalina Sansbury. So there you go.
Great. Hey. She's deadly. She's a beautiful dancer at that too. And, of course, Layla Thacker as the producer too.
Of course, Layla Thacker.
So that's the deadly fringe. So, guys, we're about to knock off. Now it looks like it's almost 9 o'clock.
Knock off.
But before we do knock off, I just want to quickly announce, what are you doing next, Kaya, and what are you doing next, Nat?
Kaya, after you.
Oh, okay. So I do have a couple of shows coming up. I am performing at the True Vibe Nation show this weekend. Check that out. I'm also doing a set for the Melbourne Writers Festival. And I have my first feature show is coming up at Emerge in Yarra. It's a side show for Miss Millie. So check it out.
Beautiful.
Woohoo, deadly. No, my life is not that exciting right now. coming up in the first week of July, NAIDOC week, I've got my workshops through Junjori Workshops. So please check it out on my website.
Deadly.
Yeah, and you might be involved in Fringe as well. So.
Yeah. And Suri is single.
Yes. Single and ready to mingle.
Yeah.
With some Pringles.
Big announcements.
Want your puppy, can't stop.
Hey.
So, guys, thank you so, so much for joining in. Of course, next week we'll be back on again from 8 till 9 p.m.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.